I love that song. And I hope and pray that that is your heart's desire, that you hunger and thirst for more of the Lord. Amen? I really do. That's my desire. I want to hunger and thirst for more of Jesus. My prayer for the church is that we will hunger and thirst for more of Him. Let's pray before we go any further. Father, our hearts hunger for more of You, for more of Jesus, for more of Your Spirit. We need You, O God. We need Your Spirit's leading, Father, in America, in our churches, in our homes, in our businesses. We need You, Father. Oh, how I am so thankful for America. And we will celebrate Independence Day this July 4th again. And I thank You, Father, for America. I thank You that You have shed Your grace on us. I thank You, Father, that You have guided us, You have protected us, You have used us, You have blessed us. Forgive us, Father, for taking Your blessings for granted. Forgive us, Father, as of late we have set Your word on the shelf. We have taken the Ten Commandments down. We have said, in essence, we don't need You, we know better. Forgive us, O God. We have redefined marriage. We have murdered the babies in the womb. We have legalized all kinds of sin. Forgive us, Father. We need You in America. I pray, Heavenly Father, this morning that Your Spirit would lead us in this service, but lead pastors and leaders all over America in the churches. Father God, to the glory of God, lead us by Your Spirit. Help us to see with new eyes and hear with new ears the freshness and the richness of the truths from the Word of God. Help us to be convicted where we need to be. Help us to be born again where we need to be. Help us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds where we need to be. Help us, Father, to be passionate to follow Jesus. Help us to hear the call of Jesus that we've been looking at for some weeks. Follow me. Follow me. Help us, Father, in and out of the church to recognize the voice of God that says, follow me. I pray for the names on our prayer focus, Father. I pray for the sick. I pray for them. They're sick, they're hurting, they're struggling, and I pray, oh God, lift them up out of the struggles of life. Encourage them. Help them to know You're at their side. All of those that have cancer and difficulties that are beating them up, I pray, oh God, that they would feel the peace of Jesus all over again. I pray, Father, for those in our communities, in our families, in our nation and around the globe that have not yet been born again. I pray, O God, do a work and draw people to Yourself. Save souls, O God, I pray. Use us, the church, to love our neighbors as ourselves. Use us in the church, O God, to love as You instructed Jesus, even our enemies, so that they might see Jesus. I pray for our nation's leaders. I pray for our church leaders. I pray, O God, we would turn to You. Guide us by Your Spirit this morning, Father, as we look again at the topic, follow me. May we see from the pen of the Apostle Paul, what does that look like? And help us to be faithful. Faithful to You, Lord. Always faithful to You first. Revive Your church, O God. Revive us. Revive us with Holy Spirit fire. Revive us. Challenge us. Correct our behaviors. Put us on the path You want us to be. revive the church in America and beyond, I pray, to the glory of God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of you are very well aware that we are in this series I have called Follow Me. And I believe as we have looked at Scripture and the bidding of Jesus, come follow me, and the challenge of Jesus to Peter to follow me, I believe we have seen quite clearly this directive. And if and when we decide to follow Jesus, then the words are equally clear to us from Scripture that when we follow Him, I said this before, we need to step away from who we used to be and step into the newness of light, because we cannot follow the world and follow Jesus at the same time. And so today I have chosen just one little part of one of the Apostle Paul's letters. If you have your Bible, Ephesians chapter 4 is where we'll start. I have chosen just one of the Apostle Paul's letter. I could have chosen a lot of them to look at some of the instructions from Paul as what does it mean when Jesus says, come follow me. Now, you know as well as I do that Paul's letters are instructional. Paul is mentoring these believers. Some of them are Gentiles, some of them are Jews. But some of the Jewish people had to step away from their Jewishness and into following Jesus. And so he's mentoring and he's discipling, he's teaching. What does it look like to follow Jesus? You know as well as I do that in our B.C. years, that's before Christ, by the way, we were following the world. Same applies to the church at Ephesus. In their before Christ years, they were following the world. So Paul comes along instructional and discipling and mentoring and helping them to see what does it look like to follow Jesus. So let me say this too, so as not to confuse anybody. I've said this before. He's not talking about working your way to heaven. He's talking about followers following. Amen? He's talking about followers who have decided to follow Jesus to be led by the Spirit of God in this direction now, contrary to the direction we used to go. He gives us this instruction, suggesting and saying to us, when we come to Christ by faith, it's a brand new day. Brand new day. Hallelujah, I say. And in that brand new day, there's some things that might have been part of your past that need to be in the past. This is what following Jesus looks like. I'm thankful for the Word of God. Amen? It helps me to understand, what does God expect of me when I put my faith completely in Him? It's not just a list of do's and don'ts, with lots of people think it is. This is what the characteristics of a follower. We need that instruction because some of us were blinded by the darkness, as they were blinded by the darkness. So Paul comes along to enlighten them. You have stepped into the light. This is what it looks like to step into the light. This is a word to followers. If you have not yet been born again, friends, everything needs to start there. You must be born again, Jesus said. And when we are, it's a brand new day, and He gives us instruction. What does it look like? The characteristics of following. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 25, here's what He said. Therefore, He starts with this, putting away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Next one. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Next one. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Next one. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And that's just one part of one chapter of one book. If you read Romans and Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians, he's instructing the churches. What does it look like to follow Jesus? Because let's face it, if we spent most of our life, whether we come to faith early or late, if we've spent most of our life walking with the world, we may not have any clue what it even looks like to follow Jesus. That's what these letters are about. Everyday instruction on what it looks like, what it means to follow Jesus. Let me ask you to ponder this for a second, friends. Do you suppose, all we've looked at is one little old list so far, but do you suppose if people of God were so passionate about Jesus being led by the Holy Spirit in everyday life, and we lived that out always, people would notice? Do you suppose? I think they would too. And I suggest that, I ask us to ponder that, not because we need a pat on the back, but because they notice for whom you and I belong. Remember when Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, you are the light of the world. Remember that, brothers and sisters. You are the light of the world. When you come to faith in Christ, it's a brand new day, and you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. That's the way believers should be. Set apart, not for a pat on the back, set apart to bring glory to God. Sherry, will you give me a drink, please? Set apart to bring God glory. Oh, you had one on hand. Thank you. Do you know what Commandment 9 is? If you remember from your confirmation or catechism classes or even from your Bible memory or whatever, you know that when the Apostle Paul says, put away lying, he's just reiterating Commandment 9. He's just reiterating it. People say, well, that Old Testament book, that's just old stuff. Most of it's reiterated, and if it's revisited in the New Testament, it's very, very much legitimate and relevant for today. What does he mean by stop lying? I'm going to elaborate just on a couple for just a little bit so I can move on. Half-truth is lying. You say, come on, Jim, give me a break. I can tell my wife or my husband a half-truth all the time. They'll never know the difference. Half-truth is lying. Remember the Garden of Eden. Remember the Garden of Eden. You shall not surely die was the half-truth from the devil. It's been happening ever since. Half-truth is lying. And Paul is saying to the believer, to the follower, one of your characteristics should be put away lying. In this context, I looked it up, this is addressing every form of dishonesty, whether that's shading the truth, exaggeration. Uh-oh, said fisherman. That gets on my last nerve, doesn't it? He's talking about shading the truth, exaggeration, cheating, failure to keep promise, flattery, and fudging. It all falls under put away lying in this category. That kind of exaggeration and flattery is part of lying. And Paul says to the church, stop. Put away that stuff. Be angry, but do not allow it to become sin. Being angry about injustices is one thing, okay? We've done some things in America, well, I'm pretty sure God's not that proud of. When we've legalized all kinds of sin and murdering babies in the womb and all that kind of stuff, and yeah, we call it legal. And so what I'm saying is there comes a point in time to be angry about injustices is one thing, but to take matters into our own hands so it becomes sin, he says, don't let it go there. Do you see the difference? You see the difference, brothers and sisters? Work with me here. Yeah, this means, yeah, I get it. No, this means, oh, I don't get it. He speaks to the former thief. Commandment number 8. Anybody remember what that is? Thou shalt not steal, in case you forgot. Paul is just reiterating that when he says here, let him who stole steal no more. But turn that around, he said. Instead of going and just taking, now get busy with your hands and start being profitable and start contributing. And while you start being profitable and start contributing, start doing something for somebody else with your hands instead of taking away, give. That's the attribute of the follower. So he gives us these instructions. I just think they're so good. And I just think we just need to be reminded of them once in a while. How about your language? How about what comes out of our mouth, our speech? Let me just ask us to ponder this. Is it wholesome? Is it positive? What I'm posting on Facebook, and you know as well as I do, well, I'll just leave it there. Is it wholesome? If I claim the name of Jesus, is my language positive, wholesome, truthful? Because he says it should be if we're followers of Jesus. Let no corrupt words come out of your mouth. Tearing people down shouldn't happen anymore amongst God's people. He speaks about grieving the Holy Spirit. We could talk the rest of the time on that. I'm just going to say this. Sinning against God is grieving the Holy Spirit of God. It's that simple and yet that broad. Sinning against God is grieving His Spirit. He gives us so many good examples. Be kind to one another. Man, that'd go a long ways, wouldn't it, in today's society? The halls of Congress, for starters. Be kind to one another. Forgive each other. These are attributes of following Jesus. These are what it looks like, what it means to follow Jesus. Let me go on to Ephesians chapter 5 so we can look at just a few more. And let me say this before we go into 5, friends. I've said this already. This is not just a list of do's and don'ts, okay? It's not if I do all this, I'll work my way to heaven. This is because I have been born again, because I have surrendered my life to the Son of God, allowed the Spirit of God to move in me, read the Word of God, and move in that direction. And let me say this, you're not in it alone. When you have been born of God, you're not in it alone. Are you hearing me this morning? God has left His Spirit. Jesus reminded us of this. God has left His Spirit. He said to them, I will not leave you as orphans, chapter 14 of John, but I will send to you the Comforter. We're not in this alone. For me to love my enemies, I'm not in that alone. You see what I'm saying? You say, well, Jim, I can't do that stuff. You're right, none of us can. But you're not in it alone. We've got the Holy Spirit of God to help us, to guide us, to strengthen us, to say no to temptation. So, when he says in Ephesians 5 these things, I want you to know, when you have been born of God, you have the Holy Spirit with you to help you. Ephesians chapter 5, first few verses. He says, for starters, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. You ever notice when you're going through life, maybe it's in everyday work, maybe it's household chores, maybe it's whatever, what you're doing when your children are young, when they're little, when they're real impressionable, they want to imitate you. Ever noticed? I remember when I was a little kid walking behind my dad, and I was trying to put my footsteps in his. That's what I'm talking about. When we're younger, we look to our parents and we want to imitate them. That's what he's talking about. Be imitators of God. Be imitators of God as our Heavenly Father. Why? Because we love Him. Because we want to please Him. Because we look up to Him just like we'd have our parents. We've looked up to them. We want to do what they're doing. Be imitators of God. You've decided to do something about Jesus. And when you have, He said, be imitators of God as dear children. Walk in love. I'll speak to that just a little bit more in a minute. Walk in love. As Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for sweet-smelling aroma. Verse 3, he addresses the whole sexual immorality thing as well as covetousness and idolatry and some things that are real heavy. He says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as fitting for saints, and filthiness and foolish talking nor coarse jesting, he mentions that again, which are not fitting, but rather give thanks. Then he adds a little bit to this topic, as he does in so many letters, Galatians, Corinthians, Romans, he does it so many times. He just reminds him, and I think he reminds him of this because these things, idolatry in sexual immorality, and covetousness, these things are so prevalent in their society. They're so prevalent in ours. And so he builds on that a little bit when he says, for you know that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, he says, because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. In other words, he's saying, don't water this down. What Paul is saying here, what I'm saying here, listen to these words. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. That's what he's calling the church to do. I praise God, he is so willing to forgive us. Amen? Whatever we used to be part of, he is willing to forgive that. But when we have repented of our sin and called upon the name of the Lord, come into my life, take over, Jesus. I know you're the Savior. I need you to be my Savior. Save me and lead me in paths of righteousness. It's a new day. And he asks us to step away from who we used to be. Forgiveness is available to all of us. I say hallelujah. And when we have stepped into the light, we've stepped out of the darkness, he gives us his instruction. Now walk as children of light. These are just a few of Paul's exhortations to the church at Ephesus. And what does it look like? What does it mean to follow Jesus? And I asked the earlier service, and I asked myself this in the past, and I ask you to ponder this. Does this seem unreasonable? I don't think it is. I don't think it is. When he has brought us out of the darkness, I've been in courts with murderers and drug addicts, and I spent time on Thursday morning, this last Thursday in Teen Challenge, with guys struggling with addiction. And I've seen all kinds of difficulty, madness, mayhem, and sin. And God is so willing to redeem us from that, thanks to the shed blood of Jesus. When he asks us to come out of that because we have put our faith in him, he asks us to walk like this. I don't think that's unreasonable. I think it's being imitators of God as he asked us to do. And I know that people see this as just some old rule book. And I know that some people say, I don't do rule books. But this is a result of being born again. That's what he's talking about. This is a result of recognizing I am a sinner who needs a Savior. And I am coming to Christ by faith. And I'm going to walk in newness of life by faith because he is Savior. And when we do, he gives us this instruction. What does that look like? I want to say this about walking in love. That's an instructional, by the way, for the church. We know the greatest command per Jesus, do we not? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And number two is like number one. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. Well, what if my neighbor's different? We'll say, he said the second command is like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. What if my neighbor is a pedophile? Or a murderer? Or goes to a different church, heaven forbid. He said, love your neighbor as yourself. And I believe if we in the church will actually genuinely, passionately love those that are different and maybe go someplace else or maybe don't go at all, I believe at some point they will see the love of God shining through you to them. That's why he says, and walk in love as Christ has loved us. Now let me speak to the 400-pound gorilla in the room for a moment. He calls it sexual immorality, fornication, uncleanness. Fornication and uncleanness are here mentioned. In this application, the word fornication means any forms of sexual immorality. You can look it up as I did in the Greek definition. It's talking about all kinds of sexual sin, even incest and that kind of those kind of things, they're wrapped up here. And so let me just say this again. In humility and love, any kind of sexual acts outside the boundaries of a married man and a married woman is sin. I know that gives us heartburn. That's why he writes what he did. It gives them heartburn in Ephesus too. But he says it in the letter to the Romans. He says it in the letter to the Galatians. He says it to the letter in the Ephesians. And Jesus talked about it. And we can argue all day long. Well, Jesus never said this and Jesus never said that. And what we're doing is making excuses for our sin. I have said to us in this whole series, let us not make excuses for our sin. When Jesus said, follow me to Peter and to the rest, we've heard it, we've read it, we've gone through it together. He meant follow me and stop following the world. Please allow me to elaborate a bit further. I know I'll get feedback. I've already got it, so I know I'll get it, but I'm going to say it anyway regarding God's position on the topic of sexuality. Every one of us have been born with a sin nature. You still with me? That sin nature was inherited. And that sin nature may be one of 100 things. It may be covetousness. He talks about covetousness. It may be robbing. It may be stealing. It may be murder. It may be sexual immorality. But we're all born with it. That doesn't mean we have to act on it. And to start making excuses when I act on it is just that, making excuses for sin. We're all born with a sin nature. And as we grow up into our childhood and into teen years and into adulthood, the temptation will come, whether it's to cheat on a test or to steal from the neighbor or to sexual immorality of some sort or another. Those temptations will come. We are born of a sin nature. Paul is saying here, quite simply, as Jesus did, the Old Testament scripture did, to act on those temptations is sin. Whatever the temptation was. And so we come up with these excuses, which I know on the surface they seem valid, they seem legit. But listen to some of the excuses we're coming up with. I was born this way. Or the nation has legalized this. Or this church has said this is okay. But we're coming up with these excuses, brothers and sisters, and just because we come up with these arguments does not make it right in the eyes of God. No matter what our excuses are, it does not change what God's Word has established. And I know this makes people mad. I know it makes people mad at church, mad at pastors, mad at God, mad at whomever, because we're not loving. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, to genuinely love people is to help them see the need of Jesus. If we love them right where they're at and never say anything about the robbery or the murder or the thieving or the sexual immorality that they're caught up in, is loving them right into hell. We can love as Jesus loved, not be condemning, but love people into the kingdom. And so coming up with excuses is not helpful. Every one of us has a sin nature. That doesn't mean we act on it. Listen to me for a second. What if the thief says, he comes down here to the grocery store or stops in at the Walmart or the Costco or whatever else, and he says, well, I'm a thief. I was born that way. I have this from birth. You have to let me steal. You have to let me have my groceries free because I was born this way. Is that not silly? And that's the excuse we're using in sexuality. What if the murderer... And I told you already, I have been to the courtrooms, I have been to the jails, I have visited those that have taken life. What if the murderer says, I was born this way, I'm going to have to kill a couple folks a week because I was born this way and you're just going to have to put up with it. That's the same kind of argument. That's all it is an argument. God, in His genius, in His created order, did not create men trapped in women's bodies. God, in His created order, did not create men to be sexually intimate with men or women with women. The enemy of our souls, the adversary, has taken what God has created, love and sexual intimacy. The enemy has distorted it and said, this is good, this is good, this is right, and don't let anybody tell you otherwise, otherwise they're a whatever, hate monger or homophobe or pick 100 other things. It is the enemy of our souls that has said to us, do what's right in your eyes because you're in love or whatever else. God, in His created order, created love and sexuality under His design, and the enemy has distorted it, and we decided to do what was right in our own eyes. Paul is simply saying to us in these verses, for this you know that no fornicator, unclean person, covetous man, idolatrous person has any inheritance in the kingdom of God. And I simply say to us, friends, in the church, we need to be loving. I want to embrace my family members that are hung up here, my neighbors, my co-workers. I want to embrace them and point them to Christ. But to never say anything about Jesus is loving them right into hell. And for the church, Paul is saying, as I have said, let us stop making excuses for sin and start following Jesus. I'll close with this. I've given you enough to ponder. I've given you enough to be angry about. He's speaking to the church. And if you haven't been born again, eternity depends on what you will do with Jesus. If you haven't yet been born again, friends, you're on the broad road that leads to destruction. I'm not saying that. That's what Jesus said. I'm just reiterating the Word of God. You must be born again. And when you are, Paul says to us, for you were once darkness, now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Stop making excuses for the sin nature. And so I ask us, we're going to sing Just As I Am to close. And I ask us this morning, friends, have you been born again? Because if you have, the instruction is clear. Walk as children of light. And if you have not, may I urge you to listen to the voice of Jesus that says, come, follow me. Jane, we're going to sing Just As I Am. I urge you, friends, today, if you have been born again, listen to the Apostle Paul when he says, walk as children of light. And if we have never surrendered our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ, then I suggest to us that's where we start. Let me say this, friends. I'm not trying to be condemnatory or judgmental. God loves you. God loves us so much He sent His Son to die for us. But He didn't die so that we would stay in the darkness. He died and shed His blood to cover all of our sin, mine, yours, and everybody else's, so we would step into the light as a new creation. And when we step into the light, it's a new day. And as Paul said, it's time to walk away from the darkness. God loves you, but He has redeemed us to walk away from the darkness that ensnares us and eventually sends us to hell. And so, we're going to sing Just As I Am and let the Lord speak to you and listen to His voice. If He's saying, come follow me, then surrender today. If we're caught up in some of this stuff, repent of that and say, God, take over. I don't want to be in the darkness no more. I want to be in the light. I want to be healthy. I want to be right with you. Talk to the Lord as we sing this song. Get right with Him.
Our loving Father, as we have just sung, we know that just as we are, you will receive. There is nothing too dark that you cannot dispel with your great light. For you sent that light into the world, Jesus Christ, who gives us the victory of over all things that our sin nature so desperately wants to defeat the good in our life. So Holy Spirit, come amongst us this week. Help us in those areas we've struggled. Help us in those areas that we just simply gave up because our humanness we felt was too great. But you are greater still. Help us with victory this week. Make it sting a little, those places that we still stubbornly hang on to. Help us not to be like Lot's wife, who looks back and still desires those things from our past. Help us to look forward to the cross, your Son Jesus, who is the victory over sin, over death, and help us to live again in newness of life in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.